This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and honored that you're tuning in. This is a call-in show, so call in 866-357-3283. You're calling in with your stewardship questions, 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, and of course, you can reach out on social media as well. Chris Brown On Air is the handle. And I think we're on just about every social platform. So make sure that you chime in on the conversation there. As you're calling in, I want to remind you that this show is broadcast all over the country in cities like Seattle, Portland, San Diego, Phoenix, Denver, Colorado Springs, Omaha, Minneapolis, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus, Louisville, Atlanta, Tampa, Orlando, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C. But if you don't live in one of those cities, then feel free to check us out on iTunes or check us out on stewardship.com. Again, phone lines are open, and it looks like this first call is coming from, looks like just right outside Atlanta, Alpharetta, Georgia. This is Margaret. Margaret, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well.
Good. How can I help you today?
Well, I have a video production company that's about 6 months old. I started it after 15 years in corporate videos, and my husband and I are debt-free. And we're trying to run this business debt-free, but I am in the need for a second camera. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost $6,600 to buy it.
Oof.
I've been renting it for $567 each time that I've needed it. And now I have 9 video projects scheduled on the books. They have to pay half down. And so it only will take me 12 video projects to pay it off completely within a year. So I was curious how you would handle this. Of course, I can do a 0% interest loan for a year and pay it off. And it would take the 12 weddings, and I've got 9 guaranteed. So I would be floating that the 3 weddings that I don't have scheduled. But the way that the business is running so far, I'm about 98% sure I can pay it off within the year. So what would you do?
I know from the world standpoint, they're like, oh, well, 0% loan for 12 months. Yeah, no, mathematically it works. It's totally duh. And she's guaranteed. That's the exact same logic, though, that's got me into trouble in my past, where it on paper, it's like, duh, oh, I'm not going to pay any interest. It's a no-brainer, right? But at the end of the day, Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is slave to the lender. You'd owe somebody something. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. And it doesn't have this like part B that says when there's zero, except for when there's 0% interest. So for me, I would like to explore some other ways for you to do this. I think about the way Dave Ramsey built Ramsey Solutions. He probably had several of these situations come up where he was tempted in a very similar way. However, he chose another way and kind of fought through. I know right now here at Ramsey Solutions, we're in that same boat where we got probably the capacity to seat about 400 staff, mm-hmm. and we have about 570 staff. So we're building a bigger campus, and we're doing it at the speed of cash, even though it would be very advantageous for us to, you know, not from a risk standpoint, but from a financial standpoint, just to get it done, because you'd be able to have all of these staff in there producing. It's a very similar thing, because these cameras are going to produce more revenue. And so more staff in seats is going to produce more revenue. So I totally get it. I really do. Have you thought through how long it would take you to save if you didn't go this route?
The issue that I keep coming back to in my head is that I have about $300 to $500 in each package that I set aside for equipment purposes, because, you know, in this field, you're always going to have to buy new equipment eventually.
Yeah.
So the way I've run it so far is that I've put a little bit back for camera equipment and marketing, but not enough to buy a camera. So it would probably take me about a year and a half to save it, mm-hmm. where if I buy it this year, then I'll have this camera for at least 3 years is the shelf life, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get 2 years of use free and clear, where it would take me a year and a half, and then I would keep paying the $567 to rent it every time.
Is there any chance for you to do some extra work with one camera? Is there any one camera type gigs that you can do?
Yes. I mean, they're all, of course, the answer is yes. It's just if I can get them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the X factor.
Kudos to you that you have the margin built in for, you know, for those sinking funds. And so you can, I think that's cool that you've got that. That's really smart in your pricing to do that $300 to $500.
Thanks.
I like that. What about this? I'm just brainstorming out loud. Could you package some gigs together? So you rent for $567, but you're renting it for 3 days and you get two gigs out of it.
Well, the problem is that they're normally spread about 2 to 3 weeks out. Mm-hmm. And so to rent it for that long, I would basically be able to buy the entire camera.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I don't feel at all comfortable saying I like you to do that. I don't like you putting yourself at that kind of risk. And I know what the Bible says about patience and about relying on Him and not relying on a card or not relying on a loan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like equipment loans at all. So I don't feel comfortable doing that. But I really don't know what to tell you outside of saving and being patient and waiting. And I guess it means you're going to have to pay. I mean, you're really not paying for it. The client is. You're paying $67. The client's paying the $500. Towards the rental, because you've worked that into your pricing.
Right.
So, I mean, so the urgency that you're feeling is the fact that you're losing $500 in margin that you could have immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an urgent thing. You do have a camera and you've got margin built in the client. So I wouldn't want you to take on any risk or any debt. So, I do know this. When it comes to business, and obviously that's not my forte, is to build a business from scratch and to build it. There is somebody that's on our staff,
mm-hmm.
who specializes in that and is really good at it, and her name is Christy Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably got like two or three really practical tips, like broken down, probably on our website, businessboutique.com. Probably be easy to find also. I don't have that, you know, article right in front of me, but I bet you she has two or three articles on it. She also has a podcast that's brand new, mm-hmm. the Business Boutique Podcast, and she has an event.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar?
Yeah, my husband actually wants to take his personal money and send me to that in November.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I don't have any connections with cameras, but I have connections with Christy, and I want to give you a free ticket to it if you'll go.
What?
Yeah, I'll give you two free tickets. You're in Alpharetta, so it's like a 4-hour drive up here to Nashville.
Yeah.
And you come up with your best friend or him or whoever you want to, and I'll give you two tickets to the Business Boutique.
Wow, thanks so much.
All right, well, I'm sorry I don't have anything besides be patient and save. That's not real fun.
Yeah, well, he's going to be happy with that answer too, because his thoughts live. Please don't put it on a credit card, please.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe he can channel that money that he was going to give you and put it towards the camera. I definitely wouldn't leave that. I wouldn't let that go. If he's willing to give you some dough, make sure you're like, hey, just channel it towards my camera.
Yeah, I'll tell him. I'll tell him that Chris told me to.
There you go. I love it. Well, Margaret, stay on the line, and we got two free tickets to the Business Boutique on November 4th coming your way.
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. Fun stuff. Love it.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. We're taking your calls, 866-357-3283. Got an email here from James. Says, Chris, I'm an architectural engineer for a small engineering firm in Omaha, Nebraska. My wife and I are working our debt snowball to get out of our consumer debt. We're looking at being debt-free about 2 to 3 years from now. Most of the engineers in my firm have been offered the opportunity to buy stock in the company once their careers have progressed. Buying into the company has compensation benefits, as well as being on track to possibly become an owner slash principal of the company as you buy more stock. It sounds like this is a rather large investment, and my wife and I are struggling with the idea of possibly going into debt in the future to further my career. Do you think buying stock in my firm would be a good idea if it is offered to me? Any advice would be appreciated, and thank you for your ministry. Well, look, I got a couple holes in this, James. I'm not sure about a couple things. One is, you said it sounds like this is going to be a large investment. And I would just say, when you say it sounds like, it tells me you don't have enough information. So go and find more information. Know exactly what you're dealing with. When we're making decisions as stewards, we got to make sure that we know what we're dealing with, that we know all of the variables. The other thing that I see here in this email is you said that I don't know if I'm comfortable going into debt in the future. I don't understand the debt and buying stock. I don't know how those are tied together. Of course, I would not want you to do that, to go into debt to buy stock. I'm not sure how that would even work. I don't want you to do that. So the minute that this benefit starts to put your family at risk, it is no longer a benefit. Everybody listening in, do you hear me? The minute a benefit starts putting your family at risk, it is no longer a benefit. It's a curse. So definitely no debt. Proverbs 22:7, Romans 13:8 tells us to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. Okay. It's also not diversified. I don't like that it's not diversified. Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, but divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. And if you put too much investment into one company, even though you're emotionally tied to it, it's not wise. The goal will now be to be as successful as you can be while being faithful. Okay, you don't want to be successful only and not be faithful. We want to make sure we're faithful to be a good steward, to make sure that we're diversifying, making sure we're staying out of debt. Okay, we often get in trouble because we focus more on being successful than faithful. And Psalm 75:7 says, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. So don't have this fear that if you don't buy into stock that you can't get promoted and you can't succeed in your job. That's not true. God's the one that holds the power. And your performance on whether you decide to purchase this stock or not, it might give you a setback for a second, but God is the one that promotes, not people. All right, we got our next call. It's coming in from Wichita, Kansas. This is Nancy. Nancy, how are you?
I'm better than I deserve.
Oh, Chris. I love it. Very good stuff. How can I help you?
Well, my husband and I are FPU grads, and I just recently finished Retire Inspired, and our number is 1.7. We've got about $800,000 in retirement. I'm 55. My husband's 57. We have 3 children, just one more to go to college in a couple years. Last year, we kind of realized one of our goals, and we moved to a golf community. We took on a $100,000 mortgage at 3.5%. And my question is, my broker advises us to just pay the regular mortgage rate and focus on putting our money into our retirement, kind of for, you know, retirement purposes, but also tax purposes. And having paid off one mortgage in the past, my gut tells me we want to pay that off. But I'm also, one other question, wondering if and when we will be kind of self-insured?
Very good questions. Here's the deal. Your gut is right, and you want to pay off that mortgage as soon as possible. Let me make this clear. There is absolutely no tax benefits to paying for a mortgage. Zero. And I'm always confused when CPAs and investment brokers or financial advisors say, keep your mortgage for the tax benefit. Let me break this down for you. And not just for you.
Actually, just to clarify, yeah, it's more my retirement is my tax benefit. So, you know, when I max out our tax, our retirement contribution, that's really helping my income. Definitely not my mortgage or my interest.
Okay. You know, what's funny is actually CPAs and financial advisors, some of them do say that. And they say, make sure you keep it for the tax deduction. And it's always crazy to me that you pay $10,000 in interest in a year and get a $2,500 deduction. So
right,
it makes no sense. But anyway, so what's your income?
It's about $180,000. $100,000 of that is my husband, who will retire in about 5 years.
Okay. Well, you have $100,000 in debt and you make $180,000. For me, in this situation, what I would do, regardless of the tax implications, because they're very, very minimal, if you were to play these things out over the next 3 to 5 years, either way, what I'm about to tell you is going to win. If you pay off that $100,000 with your own money, not taking out of IRA, not taking out of a 401k or anything like that, with your own money over the next 2 years and pay that thing off, maybe even the next 18 months, when you're making $180,000, you can do that. The 2 years would probably be that'd be a good goal. And I don't know if that's possible for you or not, but what's going to happen is you've got $180,000 a year and not one bill. Not one bill. And so what you want to do from there is just pack all that towards retirement and giving. And so from there on out, you're going to hit your 1.7 number easily in the next 5 years. Just keep packing it away and keep packing it away and keep packing it away. So that's what I would do.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, pay off that mortgage.
All righty. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. All right, folks, this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. That's what Nancy's trying to do. Nancy's wanting to make sure, okay, how do I do this His way and for His glory? And when we get how important that is, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. This is exactly what Nancy was doing. The plans of the diligent, she's being diligent with every decision, leads to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. I know we all have great intentions in how we give, how we save, how we spend money, but without a plan, what Nancy's doing, putting together a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. That's why I recommend that everyone go through Financial Peace University. It teaches practical steps for getting rid of debt, for budgeting wisely, for investing, giving generously. You've heard many callers over the last few days talk about how Financial Peace University has helped them. It's helped me and my family, along with 4.5 million others, learn how to manage money God's way. So if you're ready to get on the best plan for your money, head over to stewardship.com today and get started with Financial Peace University. And what's so great is you can choose from 3 different experiences to find the one that best suits your lifestyle. You can take it in class, which I highly recommend. You can take it online, or you can even take it at home with the home study. So get started today at stewardship.com.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
And it looks like next up from Worcester, Massachusetts, this is David. David, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah.
My wife and I are currently on baby step 4 and 6, and we've been intensely paying off on the mortgage. We've been loving that, but we just found out that we're pregnant, and I've heard Dave Ramsey say before that you put everything on pause and just save up a pile of money until baby and mama get home, but I'm wondering if there's a limit to that, because there's we're just chunking so much on the mortgage that we'd have a ridiculously big pile, I think, by the end of it. So,
well, your gut is right, and there is a limit on there. I think it can get out of control. First, I would just say, if there's no reason for a high risk birth, there's no reason for that. That you could even, you know, and of course, there's only so much that you can see in the future. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. But if there's no reason for a high risk, then if you've got your fully funded emergency fund, that's probably fine. Maybe like beef it up a month or two. But other than that, I don't think there's a need. I mean, when you hear him say that, when you hear me say that, we're talking to a lot of folks who are in baby steps 1, 2, and 3. But you've got a fully funded emergency fund. And I know a birth is not an emergency, but it is an occurrence that's above and beyond the normal budgeting pattern. And so maybe a month or two is fine. I do think that you've got 9 months of budgeting between now and then where you can budget for those purchases. You can buy a little bit at a time, so it's not all hitting you at once. So whether it be diapers or a car seat or a high chair or any of those bouncy seats and all those kind of things, you can do it a little bit at a time. But I wouldn't stop baby steps 4, 5, or 6 if you don't have to. And then, if you do, you want to do it in order. So reverse order, you want to stop 6, the aggressive overpayments of the mortgage. Then if you're, you know, obviously you're not involved in baby step 5 yet, and then you'd go to 4, but you want to keep that 4 going, get that compound interest going, but maybe just a month or two.
Okay.
All right. And here's the deal. Also, this is for everybody who, you know, you are about to have a kid or thinking about having a kid. Don't lose your mind. Don't lose your mind with buying stuff that's not necessary, going crazy, having the $10,000 bedroom when you make $10,000 a year, right? So don't lose your mind. And I just remember, David, looking back at my first child, when I look back at it, I can remember moments of like just staring at his feet and being in awe that God would trust me with a little baby, a little human being. When I don't look back and think, oh, that $1,000 dresser, wow. I just don't. So just that's a little bit of word of experience there for all of you that are going to have a child soon. So don't lose your mind.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
All right. Thanks, David. Well, folks, you know, that whole, you know, awe of what God entrusts us with, a lot of that is the posture of a steward. When we think through what God has trusted us with, we've got to stand in awe. We've got to be awed that God would allow us the ability to take part in his movement. James 2:19 talks about, we can't just have a head knowledge, right? Even the demons believed. And so it's not just a head knowledge, but we've got to be just in awe. And so there's a danger with this stuff that God owns it all and that we're the managers and it just becomes a head knowledge. We've got to stay in awe. The posture of a steward is in awe. The posture of a steward is honored that we're entrusted. What a privilege. And promotions for everyone, right? It's a big deal. We're honored. You see this in Genesis 37 through 50 about Joseph and the way he is honored with his promotion. You think about that. The second most powerful man in Egypt, but he didn't own anything. That's crazy, right? So it's not only a story of a privilege, but also a responsibility. Not only honored, but we need to be humbled, right? Humbled, a posture of humility, not entitlement. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. We need to imitate Christ's humility as he humbled himself before God. If you get time this week, check out Philippians 2, 5 through 8, talking about Christ's humility. Let's imitate that. The posture of a steward needs to be grateful. You think about the Israelites complaining in the desert. We get frustrated when we read about that. How many times do we do that, right? We need to be grateful. You think about it, you go up in the airplane, right? You're flying in a metal tube at 30,000 feet with Wi-Fi, and you can go to the restroom, but we complain about having a middle seat. Right? We need to be grateful. We need to be content. We need to control what we can control. That's the posture of a steward. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Don't forget to visit stewardship.com and get on the best plan for your money with Financial Peace University. It teaches practical steps for getting rid of debt, for budgeting wisely, for investing, giving generously. It's helped me and my family, along with 4.5 million others, learn how to manage money God's way. So if you're ready to get on the best plan for your money, head over to stewardship.com today and get started with Financial Peace University. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.